Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. Hello, America, and welcome to a new edition of John Solomon Reports, a podcast from Just the News. Today, a lot of breaking news. We're going to get to that in a second, but I want to tease who's coming on because this is a very special day for me. One of my favorite reporters. I love when we work together. Last week, we had a big story we worked on. Lee Smith, the great investigative journalist, is here. Yes, the author of The Plot Against the President, that great book that laid out the actual dirty trick step by step. That was Russia collusion. He's joining us. We broke a big story together last week about a retired FBI analyst, a guy named Dan Jones, who walked information about the Alpha Bank connection to Donald Trump, something that's been debunked or discredited multiple times now. He walked it up to the Senate Armed Services Committee, chaired by John McCain, and gave that life on Capitol Hill, very much like Sussman gave it life inside of the FBI, and Steele gave it in life inside of the intelligence community, Christopher Steele. We're going to talk to him about all things. Where's John Durham going? Where is the newest revelations? Where do they fit in the overall timeline? I think we're going to try to create an important timeline for you so you can see exactly how the dirty trick that was Russia collusion was carried out. Some big revelations in the last month with the Sussman indictment and then the court records involving Dan Jones. And so an absolute expert, Lee Smith, here to give you the latest lowdown. We're going to have a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Now, let's get to the breaking news. All right, General Milley. Yes, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He's up on Capitol Hill getting grilled about Afghanistan. And I think the big news thus far is he directly contradicted the commander-in-chief, President Joe Biden. He told Congress that he recommended that 2,500 troops remain behind in Afghanistan. Don't pull them all out, Milley said he told the president. Of course, the president has said he never got such advice, that no one was recommending they keep troops in. Somebody's not telling the truth. A big mystery has formed on Capitol Hill. Keep an eye on that. I think there'll be lots more revelations. Milley talked a little bit about his call with China, said insisted that people downstream from him, including in the Trump administration, knew. That's different than what the Trump administration's been saying. Let's see where this plays out, but a very important day. We'll have you covered stem to stern on General Milley. Very important moments already. Big revelations. The commander, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, directly challenging the veracity of President Joe Biden on whether there was a recommendation to leave troops in Afghanistan beyond the August 31st deadline. Big, big news. Now, speaking of big news, we've had a pretty big story today. I broke it this morning on Just the News. Yes, there is new investigative work, new questions about the Georgia election last November. I know we just heard about Arizona last week and got through the audit and the fact that a lot of those allegations have now been kicked to the Attorney General of Arizona, Mark Brnovich. But last night, we confirmed on the record from the Georgia Secretary of State's office that Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State, the guy who last year or in January said they had a perfect election in Georgia, but then admitted that Fulton County had all sorts of management problems and irregularities counting the vote last November. He's now opened up a new investigation about something that happened in November 2020 in Georgia during the election, this one in the major Democratic county of DeKalb County. That's where 83% of residents voted for Joe Biden. It was one of the most Democratic voting counties in all of Virginia, a lot of vote. And he is now investigating whether the county kept proper chain of custody documentation for all the ballots that they collected in those mobile drop boxes. This is a new tactic. It was used. You put boxes out in the middle of nowhere. People drop their ballots in it. There needs to be a chain of custody when those are moved to election centers. The great news site that we do a lot of work with, the Georgia Star, reported about a couple weeks ago that 43,907 of the 61,731 absentee ballots that were delivered via Dropbox in DeKalb County were missing the proper documentation. This could be more than a paperwork error, but they are investigating whether there's why the paperwork wasn't properly documented. But here's another part of the investigation. According to the State Elections Board, Brad Rafsenberger's investigators are also looking at whether DeKalb adequately protected chain of custody for the ballots, whether they were protected, whether someone could have fooled the vote or the tampered with the ballots. Why is this important? You're talking about 43,000 improperly documented ballots in an 83% county that would put the vote somewhere between 30,000-35,000 more for Biden. If those were to be disqualified, remember the margin of victory in Georgia is only about 12,000 or 14,000. There are enough votes here potentially under investigation to have changed the outcome. Now, no one's going to go back and reverse the election, so just get that off your plate. It's not happening. I know a lot of people would love it. It's not happening, okay? But it does raise a very important question about how we all rushed to say everything was perfect in Georgia, including Brad Rafsenberger. We now know Fulton County, DeKalb County, probably the two most important Democratic counties in all of Georgia, had real questions. That ought to concern all of us. And the question that comes forward in the future is, will in the future secretaries of states and election administrators get through these issues and resolve them before they certify an election? That's a very important question. It came up in Arizona, and now it's coming up in Georgia. All right, that's the breaking news of the day. There's also one other fun one that's a great cultural moment story. And if you get a chance, check it out. It's trending really well across the social media and news platforms. I call it a free speech shocker. 2/3 of college students in a new poll believe that it's okay to try to cancel campus speakers they don't agree with, mainly conservatives, by shouting them down. Think about that. They think that's appropriate behavior. 2/3. That's a very important piece of cancel culture mentality sweeping across the young people in this country. Take a look at that story. Very important story at the top of our site right now. All right, we're going to take that quick commercial break. When we come back, Lee Smith joining us, the great investigative reporter, expert on all things Russia collusion. You won't want to miss this interview. We'll be right back. Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guarantee. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and, of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JUSTNEWS for 15% off. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. Very excited about having this next guest on. One of the greatest journalists I've ever been around. The author of the incredible book, which later became a movie, The Plot Against the President. One of the truly great investigative journalists that Washington or America has ever seen. Lee Smith is joining us. Lee, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John, and thank you for that excessively kind introduction. It's very kind words.
That is true.
You know I feel the same about you, and it's a great pleasure and honor, and most importantly, a lot of fun getting to work with you as we did with that recent piece.
I had such a blast. It's fun. Anytime I get to work with Lee Smith, I'm in. I'll volunteer anytime. It's great. It's such an important moment in our understanding of the Russia collusion case. I mean, we've known for some time it was a political dirty trick. We know that Christopher Steele's information was Russian disinformation, at least determined by the FBI and CIA to be so. Then the Sussman indictment comes down a couple of weeks, and then we break the story about Dan Jones, the FBI analyst. As you look back, and as someone who really laid out the plot to get Trump, what do these new revelations say about the pattern to carry out this dirty trick?
Yeah, well, it's something that, you know, we've all seen for a while, but I think in our conversations, putting that piece together, I think you hit it right on the head very succinctly. They used a bunch of avatars, right? People who were former or current officials, both U.S. officials or officials from allied governments like Christopher Steele, you know, the former MI6 guy, Bruce Orr, Michael Sussman, former DOJ guy, and then Dan Jones, former FBI analyst, as well as former Dianne Feinstein staffer. So that we see a very clear pattern. We've seen it from the beginning, but the more stuff that's showing up, it's clearer what they did. They legitimized this operation through current and former officials, and they sold it back. They sold it back to the institutions that these people came from.
Yeah, the revolving door. We talk about it often from a lobbying sense, right? You're a former cabinet secretary. You go back to your agency. You can get policy changes for your clients. But here you've got these former law enforcement officials who've got great bona fides. They're going to be trusted by the people that take their call. And they're bringing in political dirt on Donald Trump. You know, in most cases, let's see, we know that Steele's on the payroll for Hillary Clinton. We know Sussman was on the payroll for Hillary Clinton. And now we know Dan Jones was on the payroll, at least being paid by George Soros through his group, Democracy Integrity Project. So three liberal-funded former DOJ, FBI types walk, or MI6 guys walk this in. And I want to go through the sequence, because now that all these things have come out episodically, but July 5th, I believe, is that the first time that Steele walks in his information to Gata, his handler?
Right. That's where he meets with he calls Michael Gata from Rome to London. So they meet there. And that's the first time officially, according to FBI official records, that Steele has shown this to an FBI person. Of course, you know, the dossier is circulating, or there are aspects of it that are circulating, going all around. And Andrew McCabe makes mention of it at one point.
Right.
But yeah, that's the first official time. July 5th is when Steele calls Gata and shows him at least that first shocking memo that claims Donald Trump is compromised by Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, and July 5th is important in Hillary Clinton land for another reason. It's the same day that James Comey puts an end to the email investigation, saying he's not going to prosecute him. Not that that was his decision.
Right.
It should have been a DOJ decision, but that same day, it's like they pivot from the email story to going on offense against Donald Trump. Now, mid to late July, John Brennan walks into President Obama. What happens in that moment?
Yeah, well, there's a meeting at the White House, and it's unclear. It's in John Brennan's handwritten notes, so it's unclear because of his handwriting whether it was July 26th or July 28th. It appears to be July 28th, but that's when he alerts Barack Obama and others at that meeting that Hillary Clinton, it's come to his attention through various means, that Hillary Clinton is running, the Hillary Clinton campaign with Hillary's approval is running a smear campaign to vilify Donald Trump as a Russian agent to distract from her own problems with her private email server. So the point you made before, I think, about July 5th, how they went on offense after Hillary Clinton was cleared is really important and really apt, because we see that's what this was. Brennan describes it very succinctly. That's what this campaign was. That's how I've seen it for a while. And you too, I believe, we've talked about this.
That
what this was a campaign to smear Trump, to deflect attention from whatever Hillary had on her server, because they were worried that some of that stuff, that someone might drop some of those emails from Hillary's private server. And Brennan himself describes it.
Yep. And at that point, we also know very shortly after that, the CIA sends a similar warning, a referral to the FBI saying, hey, we believe that Hillary Clinton might be carrying out a dirty trick. So anyone who's receiving information from somebody connected to Hillary Clinton's campaign or the left, or who's hearing about Russia collusion by Trump, is on notice, hey, there's a dirty trick going on. That's, I think that's a fair assessment, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, Brennan later, later in front of the House Intelligence Committee, this is in the spring of 2017, after this stuff starts to come out, Brennan takes credit for passing all this Russia information on to the FBI, right? He says he laid the basis for that investigation. But yeah, and the notes, those notes contradict Brennan's braggadocio later on, which is interesting, and maybe we'll have more detail on that sometime in the future.
Yeah, when the Durham report ever comes out. All right, so end of July now, you've got Steele's first entree to the FBI. It doesn't seem like, we know the FBI didn't open up based on that. They took a pass, at least initially. Then the president of the United States, Obama, gets a warning that there's a political dirty trick to smear Donald Trump on Russia. And then the end of July, Christopher Steele comes over the pond, comes from London to the United States, and he meets with who?
Right. He sees a whole bunch of people. I believe that he sees Michael Sussman. I'm not sure if he sees Sussman then, but importantly, he sees his Clinton campaign handler, who is Glenn Simpson.
Right.
He also meets with another Fusion GPS colleague, Nellie Orr. They meet at a breakfast, and also her husband, DOJ official Bruce Orr. So this is an example of what you've been talking about the Clinton campaign using these current and former officials to take stuff into the FBI. And of course, other agencies as well, because Christopher Steele will later walk into the State Department, speaks with Kathleen Cavalec about this operation. But at that table, you have at breakfast at the Mayfair Hotel, Mayflower in Washington, you have two different officials who are going to walk things into the FBI on behalf of Nellie Orr, her husband Bruce, and Christopher Steele. So they're all running things into the FBI on behalf of Nellie Orr and the rest of Fusion GPS.
It's remarkable because the day after the meeting at the hotel, as Bruce Orr is arranging to go see Andy McCabe at the FBI on or around July 31st, August 1st, Pete Strzok opens up the official investigation known as Crossfire Hurricane. Right. So the second entree
on a Sunday.
On a Sunday,
bizarrely, as people have noted. Yeah. No one else is there on a Sunday. He's got nothing better to do.
Yep. It's not a day of rest for him. There's a bogus Russia investigation to open up.
Yeah, right.
So then we know that Orr took, despite the conflict of interest he had with his wife working for the Clinton campaign, he takes Steele's information. They have a meeting at the FBI. In the month of August, they expand the investigation from Papadopoulos to also include Mike Flynn and Paul Manafort and missing one. Who's the fourth one they opened up? Oh, Carter Page. Yeah. So the foursome are now all opened up on. And in September, there's not enough public discussion of this going on yet, I guess. And so a guy named Michael Sussman, a former DOJ cybersecurity expert, he has a contact with the FBI. Tell us what we learned from the indictment two weeks ago.
Right. Well, he went in and spoke with the FBI's general counsel, a man named James Baker, who's the deputy general counsel now of Twitter. So be careful out there, Twitter users, on what you're DMing to friends or colleagues. So he takes this information, these allegations that Trump Organization computer servers are mysteriously, suspiciously in touch with the computer servers of a Russian financial institution called Alpha Bank. And the indictment, this is important. What the indictment says, he's indicted for lying to the FBI. What he did was he didn't tell Michael Sussman, the former DOJ official, did not tell his former colleague, James Baker, that he was working on behalf of the Clinton campaign. He went in there and let on that he was just being a decent citizen and bringing this surprising information to the attention of America's federal law enforcement agency. So that's the basis of the indictment. I think the indictment is, you know, we've spoken about this. I mean, 27 pages. I mean, for a single charge of lying to the FBI. So I think that the Durham team used the indictment to make a pretty extensive case about what's going on. They identified, not using their names, but they identified a number of different figures in what looks to be a conspiracy, and what will become what appears to become an increasingly large conspiracy. This is what we've talked about a lot, and this is what when Congressman Nunes was. When he referred these different, made these different criminal referrals to DOJ, we don't know what they all are in detail, but he often spoke in terms of a conspiracy. So this appears to be what John Durham and his team have been investigating, a criminal conspiracy.
So fascinating. I mean, literally just an amazing thing. So now we've got an MI6 guy, we've got a DOJ guy, we've got a former DOJ guy. They're all walking stuff in. They all have connections to the Hillary Clinton campaign.
Right.
And then we discover that after the election, after the FBI finally got their FISA warrant, and they send it to FISA court, and they're listening to Carter Page, and the investigation's going on, and there now have been leaks to the media. Sussman's talked to the media, Steele's talked to the media, Simpson's talked to the media. A guy who used to work for the FBI as an analyst and then was detailed to the Senate Intelligence Committee, Dan Jones, he takes a leg of this, the Alpha Bank leg of this, and where does he go? Where did we learn last week from our reporting about Dan Jones?
Yeah, well, he goes to the Senate Armed Services Committee. And so one of the points that we make in the piece, of course, is that they're really trying to push this through executive branch agencies, the FBI, State Department, CIA, but after the election, they're now trying, and we should point out also that Sussman is still trying to push it in after the election, right? Sussman met with the general counsel, contacted the general counsel of a second agency, which is almost certainly the CIA, and so we contacted them in December, presumably trying to get the Alpha Bank information into John Brennan's intelligence community assessment, which came out in January 2017, right as Obama was leaving office. So they're still working the executive branch, but now after the election, they're also trying to insert it into the legislative branch. And that's what Dan Jones's job is, to take this information into the Senate Armed Services Committee and keep pushing the Alpha Bank story. And a point that you made, which I think is really excellent, this entire story was the FBI investigated it. They looked into it. As the New York Times reported a week before the election in an October 31, 2016 piece, it said the FBI looked into it and found nothing. We also know that the Mueller investigation, the special counsel looked into it, debunked it. But Dan Jones, it appears from these court documents, it appears that Dan Jones is one of the people in America, one of the rare people in America who still believes this story, even though it's been discredited many times. And according to the court documents, he came up with a 687-page memo or report, rather. Yeah, 687 pages. This is no longer a memo. But that just shows you, from the way I see this, is the depths of their depravity, right? 687 pages on nonsense, on something that has been discredited. It's crazy. And the fact that the U.S. government, the executive branch, and now the legislative branch, is being polluted with this nonsense, it's shocking. In addition to the crimes and abuses that were committed, in addition to the crime that John Durham appears to be outlining, just the insanity of this, that this is what's going on in Washington, that people are messing around with elected officials, with policymakers, that this is how they're trying to corrupt the American government. It's shocking.
It is remarkable. And the pattern is so sophisticated. I mean, you can see now why so many people believe this for a long time, because even though the Obama administration was on notice, you've got all these players with bona fides and credentials and relationships walking this stuff in. It's sort of like a new form of political lobbying coming in the back door and seating in Congress inside the FBI.
I think that's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Like political lobbying, right? I mean, we know that Steele was, even before Steele started showing up at the, with FBI guys, he was walking into the State Department.
That's right.
They knew who he was because he kept showing up with stuff on Ukraine and Russia, right? So, that appears to be lobbying right there. We don't know exactly on whose behalf he's inserting this information, but to talk about it in terms of political lobbying, I think that's a great way to put it, and a really good way for listeners to understand what was going on.
Yeah, and we now know that those earlier reports that he was sending the FBI, sending the State Department leading up to his dossier work, that the FBI or the CIA raised warnings with the FBI saying, hey, we think he might be compromised. He's talking to too many Russian oligarchs. And one of the early warnings that the CIA, and the funny thing is, the CIA career people seem to have smoked this out pretty quickly, right? Brennan's already telling the president in July, dirty trick underway by Hillary Clinton to get rid of her email scandal. The CIA tells the FBI on multiple occasions, starting in 2016, again in 2017, hey, Carter Page, the guy you're looking at, he's one of us. He's a good guy.
Yeah, right.
And they see, they raise a very significant concern about Steele's credibility, that he might be compromised and the recipient of Russian disinformation. Despite all those warnings, Strzok, Page, the gang at the FBI, keep proceeding forward. When you look back now, and this is a question I think I get a lot in the open, and I think it's an open question. Was the FBI blind because they were just excited about a big case? Oh, my God, we might have the President of the United States as a Russian spy. Was the FBI biased and had blinders on because most of them liked Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump, at least according to their text messages? Or is it a combination of both? Some people are just, excited and tripping past the warning signs, and other people have a political motive. How does the FBI fall for this for not one, two, but, 2.5, 3 years?
Yeah, I don't think they did fall for it. That's my take. And
interesting.
If you look at the first page of the dossier, what does it say? I mean, it says we have this information, or one of our sources is a former Russian spy chief, right? So even, you and I aren't intelligence professionals, John, but we're journalists. And if someone were to come and tell us, we're sitting down having a cup of coffee, and someone walks up to us and says, hey, so there's a Russian spy chief who's telling us something about what's going on with Russia and the United States. Wouldn't our first thought be, well, how do we know this guy's on the level? I mean, that's what we do with sources all the time.
Yeah.
Right. You check out the source. And so look, again, no matter how bad the FBI might be at different times, the very first thing they do is they would check out the sourcing on that really astonishing claim that Donald Trump has been compromised. Who says so? A Russian spy chief. Guys, at least the yellow light, if not a red light, this doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
You gotta check it out.
Such a good point.
But no one did it. So I think it's very sad. I think that the Clintons, a quarter of a century in Washington, a quarter of a century's worth of corruption, I think the FBI in large part was corrupted by the Clintons. I think they were used to running favors on behalf of the Clintons, cleaning up their mess left and right. I think that's what happened now. I think the campaign figured, we can use the FBI to do it. We can use the FBI to push this. Because what we need from the FBI is we need a spy warrant. We want to know what the Trump campaign has. We want to know, above all, if the Trump campaign has any of Hillary's emails. How do we do that? We got to go through the FBI. And so the FBI, as they had been for a quarter of a century before that, said, okay, what do the Clintons need now? That's how I see it. And it's very sad what has happened to that organization, which now, in large part, what we've seen, the recent reports this week about the FBI infiltrating January 6th and maybe initiating some of that chaos, some of that violence. It's a very sad chapter, disastrously sad chapter for an important American institution.
Such an important point. Now, you step back from all this. I think Durham has been investigating almost as long, if not longer, than Robert Mueller took to wrap up the whole investigation. We know he's had upwards of 100 agents and lawyers working for him. We've got two indictments, right? We got Sussman last week, and then, of course, the FBI lawyer, Klein Smith. Getting indicted about a year ago, a little over a year ago. Where does this end? When you look at things, do you see more indictments coming down the road, or are we headed to just a report?
I mean, you'd think there would be more indictments. Again, if you look at that 27-page indictment, there's a lot of people involved in stuff, right? You have what they refer to as the investigative firm, meaning Fusion GPS.
Right.
You have the tech executive. You have all the people who are coming up with all this information. So, look, if what Durham is drawing up, what he drew up in that 27-page indictment was a conspiracy, there are lots of people who are involved.
Yeah.
So, for me, the question has been, because you've been great on the Durham team. You talk about the different things that they the different directions they might move in. And so my issue has never been the Durham team itself. My issue has been, what happens under a Joe Biden DOJ?
Yeah,
what point does Merrick Garland say, hey, we didn't like the references that you had in that indictment to certain people in the Biden administration. We're not going to fund you for next year. You're done. Wrap it up. And by the way, no report. So that's my concern. I think a lot of people must be worried about that as well in Washington. And that's why it's probably important for Republican figures to demand, go around speaking about this, say Merrick Garland's got to let Durham finish his work, just like they did with Mueller. Hey, Trump's got to let Mueller finish his work. I think Republicans certainly have to make that case. And I'm not speaking about this in partisan terms. I'm talking about this in terms of our justice system. Americans need to know, Americans left and right need to know, we have a functional justice system. And insofar as we've described this as the biggest political scandal in American history, we have to get to the bottom of it. And Garland has to let Durham finish this job, this very important job.
Yeah, that is the most important development we have, right? That's whether we'll get completion and finish the investigation. What are the biggest questions that you hope get answered in the final stages of this investigation? What are the big things you really want to know?
John Brennan's role. I think that one of the things that I like about the indictment, that I think is terrific about the indictment, is, as other people have said, but it's worth repeating, is that it's a Clinton campaign operation. That's what it was. I mean, that's what Congressman Nunes' investigation showed. That was their first big find, right? That the Clinton campaign paid for the dossier.
Right.
That was in the Nunes memo. That was information they got in October 2017. So we knew that, but it's great to see that in a court document, right? In an official government document. This goes to the Clintons. It was the Clinton campaign. I want to know what the role, because as we said before, John Brennan appears to be saying a few different things here, right? We've got these handwritten notes now that say yeah, it was always a dirty trick from the Clinton campaign. But then again, in October, or rather May 2017, he's saying he's the one who sent all this information to the FBI. So I'm very keen to find out what John Brennan's role was.
Yeah, such an important question to ask and answer. Lee, your work is just amazing. Every time you write something, every time you put a book out, you move mountains with your great reporting, and we're really excited.
Thanks very much, John.
The details are so great, and I think you were the first person to take all of the fragmentary stuff that came out, you know, a year or two ago, and give it a framework, a narrative of what it truly was, which was this is the greatest political dirty trick carried out to try to frame a president with something that was never, ever true. In fact, it was known not to be true right out of the get-go. And you just deserve a lot of great credit for seeing that big picture so quickly.
John, that's really kind. Thank you very much. It's great to always great to talk to you. Whether we're working on a piece or being on your podcast, thank you very much for inviting me today.
Our audience had a blast listening to this. I'm certain of it. And we'll have you on soon. I'm sure we got more things we'll be digging up. So thanks again, Lee.
I look forward to it. Thank you, John.
All right. Folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up for the day. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold. Or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. All right, folks, that wraps it up for the day. A big thank you to our great guest, Lee Smith, great investigative reporter, author of the book, Plot Against the President, where really, I think I even learned a lot of new things just listening to Lee. So smart about this case. He sees the big picture. And of course, he had some interesting questions for John Durham to investigate. Should he bring more charges or not? A great all-around investigation. We're very excited for that. And tomorrow we'll have another great guest, so tune back in. Until then, you know, I always want folks to know that as we expand Just the News, as we expand John Solomon Reports, we have partners, people that are advertisers and sponsors and people who care about our work. They support our work. They make what I do, the investigative reporting, the show, my future TV show, all possible. And they have special offers as part of our partnership for you, our listeners, for you, our readers. And one of those great companies is Bambee, B-A-M-B-E-E. If you run a business like I do, HR issues can be very time consuming. They can be burdensome. They can lead to litigation if you don't do things right. And a lot of small companies don't have a full-time HR department. Well, guess what? Bambee can step into that void. Bambee can step into that void and make a difference. And that's important. Why? Because just one bad wrongful termination case can cost $70,000 in compliance legal costs. Why didn't you save yourself that money? Here's how. For $99 a month, that's a special offer here for Just the News fans, people who are running companies, small businesses. For $99 a month, Bambee can go from making your HR a big headache to making it something you never worry about, actually making your biggest strength. It's incredible. They give you a dedicated HR manager. They help you craft your HR policy. They maintain your compliance. And you get it for just, you ready for this? $99 a month. I just told you $70,000 is the average cost for a termination suit that goes bad, right? Well, for $99 a month, Bambee has got your back on all things HR. It is a great, great company. I love their product. I love their advice. I love love their experts. I love the concept of making sure you have a full-time HR department, even when you can't afford it. You can certainly afford $99 a month if you're running a company. So go to Bambi.com/JustNews. That's Bambe.com/JustNews right now to schedule your free HR audit. They'll get you started. It doesn't cost you any money, no commitment. They'll just give you a sense of how they can help make a difference. What a great opportunity. One more time, Bambi.com, Bambe.com/JustNews. Go there today. If you run a company like me, you are going to get a big benefit from having that free consultation. Go do it today. You won't be disappointed. All right, folks, that wraps things up for the day. So grateful you joined. So grateful that Lee Smith could be here. What a great guest. So happy. All right, we're going to wrap it up. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you and may God bless this extraordinary country, the United States of America, as he always has. You've been listening to John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you gotta do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. Folks, everyone knows the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something much more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's what we learned from this last pandemic, right? That's where the wellness company comes in. You know the wellness company. We have their great doctors like Dr. Peter McCullough on all the time on our shows. The wellness company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust. And the new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. And most importantly, prepared. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. The medical emergency kit provides a guidebook to aid in the safe use of all of these life-saving medications, so you know what you're doing. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID and even the bioweapon like the plague, the wellness company's medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to keep you and your family safe from whatever the globalists throw your way. Go to www.twchealth/justnews today in order. That's twc.health/justnews and use the promo code justnews to save 10%.